have the capacity as a 5-gallon bucket. Isn't that true? And you can't do anything to increase the capacity of a thimble because it's an inanimate object. But we're kind of like that too. We can only receive from God in direct proportion to our capacity to receive from God. We can expand our capacity to receive. Sometimes that has to do by learning stuff that we didn't know about God. You know, Bible says, and this is our premise for what we're doing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith comes. It comes by hearing. The ideal there is not just having heard it. The ideal is to hear it and to perceive it. When you understand something, it increases your capacity to do something. If you buy a game, one of those little games that you know those, what do they call those? I don't play those. Wii or one of those games. You know, there's some things that you have to gain some knowledge to learn how to play that game, or that game just makes no sense to you whatsoever. What are you doing? You're increasing your capacity to be able to do that. And when it comes to the things of God, it's the same way. We don't naturally know God, and we don't naturally know what God is like and who He is. But we can come to know Him, and it increases our capacity to receive from Him. And this is the thing of faith. When you get saved, when you invite Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, God gives you the faith to do that with. We do not naturally have faith. I'm not talking about natural faith. I'm not just talking about believing something. It takes supernatural faith to get born again. It takes supernatural faith to live in God's kingdom. And the only way that we can get that is God gives it to us. And the way that He gives that to us is that when you hear the gospel and you turn your heart and your will towards the gospel and you become receptive to that, God imparts to you a measure of faith that you get born again on. And then what He says is, the just shall live by faith. God wants us to live by faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not just faith in God. We have to have faith in God, but we also have the faith of God. And that's huge. And we need to grasp that. You need to expand your capacity to understand that if you're going to walk in it and receive it. So there are things that you have to know. This is where we talk about, you know, getting in the Word and getting the Word into you. We talked about meditating the Word, meditating on the attributes of God. I challenged you last week to take an attribute of God and meditate on it. The book of Joshua talks about the power of meditation. That if we will meditate on the Word of God and the laws and observe to walk in the principles of the kingdom of God, then the Bible says that everything that we do, we will make our way successful. See, we're always looking for God to do something for us. But God wants to do for you what He can do through you. Say that again. God wants to do for you what He can do through you. If God does everything for you, then you don't grow. You know, a little bitty baby trying to walk. You know, and they're reaching for toys. And they can't reach the toys. If you always bring that toy to that child, he never has to stretch. He doesn't learn. You're doing everything for him. The best thing that you can do for that child is to challenge him to reach and to stretch and to reach. Because what does it do? It builds his muscles. It builds his confidence. It builds his brain stuff that goes on with little babies. And they learn how to walk. They learn. And if you do everything for them, then they don't learn. And if God did everything for us, apart from us, we would never learn anything. What God wants to do is to work through you. He wants to work in you. Because what it does, it begins to change your character. And potential is released in character, not knowledge. Now, character comes through the application of knowledge. Knowledge is important, but it's applied knowledge that begins to produce character. As the character level rises, so does your potential rise. In your character, The ceiling of your potential is in your character. It's who you are. And see, this is one of the things that we need to learn as Christians, is who we are in Christ Jesus and who Christ Jesus is in us. This is the power of faith. And God wants us to live the faith life. Another thing that we have to do to increase our capacity is sometimes our bucket is half full of sand. Now, sand could be lots of different things. It could be distractions. It could be wrong motives. It could be anything in our lives that comes between us and God. It could be sin. It could be anger. It could be... You could just name it. And we have to empty that out, because when we do that, it increases our capacity to receive from God. God is more interested in the eternal part of you, developing the eternal part of you, than He is anything else. And many times He uses things like supplying your physical needs. But if all He did was supply our physical needs, and He does that, I believe that God wants you to prosper. I believe that He wants you to be healthy. I believe that He wants to bless you, and He wants to bless you in the physical realm. But if that's all there is, and it has no eternal effect on us, then we're no better off. See, this spiritual life is not just about the stuff out here. It's about the stuff in here. It's about growing in here. 3 John 2 says, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, your mind, your will, your emotions. As you begin to grow on the inside, it raises your potential to grow on the outside. And this is the thing, that we have to take charge of our spiritual lives. Nobody else is going to take charge of your spiritual life. I wish I could take charge of your life sometimes. But you know what? I have just a big enough job taking care of mine to be taking care of yours. I have to take charge of my spiritual life. I plant seed in you, but it's up to you. You can come and sit in church and hear wonderful things. You can hear things that will change your life. But if you never take charge of your spiritual life and do something with them, you will just sit here and be deceived. Because you hear it, you acknowledge it as the truth, and you go away and you forget about it. And you think that you're doing it, but you're not. You're just hearing it. Hearing it is only part of it. Doing it is the other part. So that was the law of capacity. See, we have a tendency that if life is unattended, it tends towards chaos. I still don't have my yard mowed. I talked about that last week. My mower went on the blink. And my yard is getting more chaotic looking. I mean, it's that high in some places. I'm going to have to get the bush hog out before I can mow it. It's left unattended. And it does what? It tends towards chaos. And when we don't pay attention to our spiritual lives, it's not a priority. It's not number one. Our relationship with God is not number one. Our life tends towards chaos. That's just the natural way of man, it seems like. But you have to take control. You have to be disciplined. And as you begin to do that, guess what? Your life is less chaotic. Okay, today we're going to talk about the law of control. Everybody say control. Okay, this law says that people are positive or effective in life to the degree that they are in control of their life. People are positive or effective in life to the degree that they are in control of their life. Have you ever seen anybody's life that's out of control? You know where they struggle? They struggle in their faith life. Now, we're going to look at a story that illustrates this. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. I want to read a story to you that kind of illustrates this. We're going to use two words that mean the same thing: control and authority. Control and authority. And can I say this? Faith is about authority. The life of faith is a life of authority. And we'll explain that in a minute. Matthew 8:5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Underline that. Such great faith. There's two words here that one reveals the other. Authority and faith. Authority and faith. Now, it goes on in the story that the servant is healed because Jesus speaks the word and the servant is healed. But the thing that Jesus said here, I marvel at this guy because he has greater faith than the people of Israel who should understand this. And the reason that he said that was that he knew that this man understood authority. This man recognized that Jesus was a man who operated in authority. Now let's go back and let's develop this. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden, and I want to read a scripture found to you in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God created man. Remember, we talk about this all the time, that if we're going to understand things, we need to understand original intent. Original intent. That's a powerful word. Original intent. When God created man, he said in Genesis 1:26, he said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them have dominion. Dominion, control, authority. Okay? Man was made to be in control. In authority, to exercise authority. And let me say this, to exercise control or authority is a big part of exercising faith. See, a lot of people have about faith is, well, I'm just turning everything over to God, and I know that whatever happens is His will. That is so weak. I don't know that God operates that way. I think God wants us to understand His will, and then He wants us, based on His Word, He wants us to put that in our heart, and He wants to work through us to bring about the thing that the authority. He included us in this by design. He says, I want you to be in dominion, to have authority. Now let me tell you what this authority is not. It's not control of other people. Anybody who tries to control other people is misapplying dominion and authority. Okay? If I try to control my wife, ha ha. First of all, I married a redhead and that's not happening. I can say, no, woman, you will. She'll, yeah, I'll show you I will. No, that's misappropriation of dominion. Our dominion and our authority is not over people. And I understand we have children and we're supposed to raise children, but we're not to dominate them. We're to nurture them. We're to raise them. We're to encourage them. We're to discipline them and lead them. God does not exercise dominion over you because He gave you dominion in the earth. Many times that's why God doesn't get involved in your life until you ask Him to. But He wants to do everything that He does through you. And God's design was that through their fellowship, that they were going to exercise dominion through all of His creation. See, Psalms 8:6 says this, and this is talking about this same thing. It says, you have made man to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. We were made to have dominion. dominion. You're to have dominion in your life. You thought, I thought the Lord was supposed to be in control. But the way the Lord wants to be in control is you submitting your heart to Him and letting Him guide your life through the principles of His Word. You still are in control and you still have to choose, but you choose to follow Him. And that releases the supernatural working power of God in your life to accomplish great and mighty things. But again, God wants to work through you, because that causes you to grow. If He has to work just apart from you, He just doesn't choose to do that. I know there's some things that come to you that, but a lot of times those are just results of sowing and reaping, and they're good things. Okay, Romans 5:17 says this. It says, "For if one by one man's offense death reigned through the one," this is talking about Adam when he sinned. Did you notice what happened to Adam when he sinned? He lost control. When Adam sinned, he lost control. And you know where it started? He lost control of his own life. God wants you to be in control of your life. When Adam sinned, sin came into his heart and seized his heart, and Adam loses control. Now, here's the law of faith. A man is only positive or effective in life to the degree that he is in control of his life. Okay? What happened to Adam when he sinned? He lost control. His heart was darkened. He was thrust into sin. His life spiraled out of control. God had to intervene in his life. But that was not original intent. God says, I want you to have dominion. I want you to have authority. I have put all things under your feet. You know why we're so messed up in our society, in our world today? Man is out of control. You know why your life can have order as a believer? It's because God gives back to you the ability to control. And to the degree that you are in control of your own life, that's to the degree that you are effective and are positive. Okay? Now, wow. Galatians 5:22. Says this, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now that's not, let me say it two ways. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's also the fruit of the recreated human spirit. When you get born again, God puts so much into you, and this is one of the things that He puts into you. You have to take it, you have to develop it. You have to nurture it. But the fruit of the Spirit, everybody say this, is love. That's agape. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Oh. Now that's not just willpower. That is a fruit of the Spirit. Do you think God has self-control? You think God has self-control? If He didn't, you would be toast. You get an attitude. You get out here and you act this way. If God lost His temper all the time, if God was as temperamental as we are as human beings, we would have been toasted a long time ago. God has self-control. How many times have we got things out of control in our life and we've done something stupid or said something stupid? Or we don't have control of areas of our life. And this is what this has to do with your faith, because how can you affect things out here in life like you're supposed to if you can't even control things that are in here? This will affect your faith. This will affect your faith. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are supposed to reign in life through Christ Jesus. We are not to be a dominated people. We shouldn't be dominated by sin. We shouldn't be dominated by Satan. And we should not be dominated by circumstances. We should be the influencers in this world. We should be the ones that are making a difference. We shouldn't be the ones in the workplace that acts like everybody else. We should not be the negative. We should be the positive. And when you get into this area where you're more affected by the world than you are God, then guess what? You are not in control, and your faith is affected. Your faith life. You will not walk by faith. In fact, you only have control. I mean, you only are effective and positive to the degree that you are in control of your life. Now, the best way to get in control, first of all, is to submit yourself to God. If we don't submit ourselves to God, the Bible calls that pride. It calls it pride. And there's a lot of Christians who have pride. They have a lot of pride. They won't submit their lives to God. And guess what? Your pride will cause you to lose control. There's so many things in life that will cause you to lose control. This is why God says these things are not good. You know why God says things are not good? Because He sees the end result of those things. God's not a party pooper. Say, God just don't want you to have any fun whatsoever. God wants you to have a ball in life. God wants you to live life. Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Christians should have more fun than anybody else. Their life should be full of joy. You can have joy in every circumstance, in every situation of life. But guess what? You've got to get your life under control. And the first thing that happens is that you give your life to Christ. And I mean really do that. Not just a superficial thing where you pray a prayer so that you'll go to heaven when you die. That's ugh. This is why when we pray, we say this is the first step, this is fresh start, then we have second step. How many steps are there? As long as you live, there's a step to take. And to the degree that you have control in your life is to the degree that you're going to be effective in life, in your faith walk. Because that's the only thing that we're really called to walk by, is by faith. You say, what about love? Well, faith works by love. When you walk in love, it'll open the door for you to walk in faith. But faith is the thing that will make a difference in this life. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank You that You've called us to live a high life, a faith life, one where we exercise the dominion in the realm that we live in over sin, circumstances, and our enemy, the devil. That we can bring thoughts under control. That we can bring ourselves under control by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, open our hearts. Cause us to see. Cause us to see the life, the potential of the life of faith that we have in this place. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You may be here today. You may say, you know, I don't really have a real relationship with God. I may have prayed a prayer a few years ago just to kind of, so I wouldn't go to hell, but I don't really have a relationship with God. Or maybe you say, I've had a relationship with God, but I've strayed away. Well, I've got good news for you today. You can have a fresh start here today, right now. And I want to pray a prayer and give you an opportunity to do that. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that will embarrass you. We're not going to ask you to get up out of your seats, come to the front, anything like that. But if you'd like to be included in this prayer, I'd slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I need a fresh start today. I don't have a relationship with God. I see one hand. Anybody else? I need a fresh start today. Anyone else? All right, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to pray together. Everybody pray out loud. And you're going to pray with somebody today that's starting a new life. And that's awesome. So pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you care about my life. Lord, I need a relationship with you today. Lord God, I turn from my old life. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Jesus Christ, I confess you as my Lord. Come into my life and change me. I thank you for it today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a hand clap. Somebody prayed that. And I believe their life is going to change forever today. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to do something. Kevin's standing at the back door there. Wave at us, Kevin. He has a Bible. We have an easy-read Bible that has some stuff in the front of it about how to develop your Christian life. This is the next step you need to take. Go get one of those Bibles, read that material, and he'll talk to you about our second step. I'm going to ask Joe to come and have a... We have time to have prayer this morning for those who need prayer. If our prayer team would come, we can do that right now, and Joe will finish the service.